Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, and I must admit that I'm a big fan of John's Gospel, but John packs so much into each and every verse that sometimes it's very difficult to not preach an hour or more on John passages, but have no fear, we'll try to see where we go with this passage from John chapter 3. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're reading from John 3. I'm going to begin with verse 1, and I'm reading through verse 17 of John chapter 3. If you don't have your Bibles, you're welcome to listen as we hear what God's Word has to say to us and for us this morning. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And just as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to be in worship today, to gather together as a community of faith, to witness a baptism. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us today. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might be more than just information, but we pray, Lord, that your words might transform us, that they might change us, that they might penetrate deep within our being and change us from the inside out. All this we ask, Lord, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the one that loved us. And it is in the name of the one who loved us, Jesus Christ, that we pray together, saying, Amen. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody where you were kind of talking about one thing and they were hearing something else and you kind of kept missing each other like this? It was like you were talking about one thing and they were hearing something else and you never really connected. I really think that's what's going on in this passage out of John chapter 3. I think that there is a disconnect between what Jesus is saying and what Nicodemus is hearing. It's interesting how this passage starts. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night because he is a Pharisee. Jesus has already started to make enemies in his ministry. There are already people who do not like Jesus, who do not approve of Jesus. So Nicodemus comes to see Jesus after dark because as a Pharisee, he'd rather not be seen with Jesus. And he starts out with a little bit of flattery. And every time somebody flatters Jesus, it's interesting to me, Jesus just turns that flattery right around. Because Nicodemus says, hey, we know that you are a gift from God sent among us to teach us. Your miraculous works show that. To which Jesus says, you must be born again if you want to enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, in my paraphrase, say what? What are you talking about? How does that happen? You know, it reminds me, in 2005, I went to Israel and I had to go and get a passport. And one of the things that you have to do when you get a passport is you have to have a birth certificate showing that you have been born. Now, because I really wanted to go to Israel, I did not try this when I went down to the courthouse. But part of me really wanted to go down to the courthouse and say, what do you need my birth certificate for? I'm here. I'm alive. Doesn't that prove that I was born? But you see, the question was not about being born, was it? That's not what they wanted to know for my passport. What they wanted to know was, could I prove my identity, right? It was not the fact that I had been born. I mean, shoot, all of us have been born, right? It wasn't about that. It was about the identity. What was my identity? Could I prove my identity? And I think this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus shows that Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, because when Jesus said, you must be born again, Nicodemus took it literally and said, how does this work? How can you be born again? And what Jesus was talking about was identity. What is your identity? What is my identity? Now, in our time, there is a lot of concern about identity theft, right? Because of the internet, because of things that happen, somebody could steal your identity. And somebody could actually be going around right now with saying that they were me, right? Identity theft, using my credit card, using my information, acting as if they were me. So really, being able to prove your identity is important. So as Jesus goes along in this conversation with Nicodemus, he says, here's how you know your identity. You must be born of water and the Spirit. You must be born of water and the Spirit. That's how you get to the kingdom. You're born of water and the Spirit. Now, it is just a great and godly thing that as I get to preach this today, we got to observe a baptism this morning. It's really, really great. Because baptism itself gets at the heart of our identity. You may never have noticed this when we do a baptism, but every time I baptize someone, you might have noticed that we omit their last name, their surname. I didn't say, Owen Stephen Yelland, I baptize you. I said, Owen Stephen, I baptize you. Why did I do that for? It's because I forgot. It's because some of us have last names that are too difficult to pronounce. No! It has everything to do with identity. And you see, one of the things that we understand about baptism is that when we are baptized by water and the Spirit, our identity changes. We are no longer just part of our nuclear family. We become part of the family of God. And herein lies Nicodemus's real problem. Because you see, in Jesus' day, if you were Jewish, you were in. If you were born as a part of the Jewish nation, the Jewish race, if you practiced the Jewish religion, you were in. So Nicodemus really didn't understand. He said, I've already got identity. Why would I need something else? In chapter 8 of John's gospel, there's an exchange between Jesus and some of the religious leaders in chapter 8. And it kind of goes back and forth like this. In verse 31, Jesus said, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The response from the people that Jesus is discussing this with is, "But we are descendants of Abraham. Our identity comes from the fact that Abraham was our father. We don't need anything else. This is our identity." To which Jesus goes ahead and says, "You know what? You need to understand that I came from the Father." In verse 39, what did they say again? "Our father is Abraham." You don't understand our identity. We already had that. And see, one of the reasons that Jesus and Nicodemus had this disconnect was because Nicodemus thought, "I already have my identity. My identity becomes because I'm one of the children of Abraham. Why would I need another identity?" When Jesus goes on to explain this a little further in the passage, he talks about being born of water and the Spirit, but then he gets to these great verses that we all love very much. Verses 16 and verses 17. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." You see, what Jesus was trying to say to Nicodemus was, what God wants to do is beyond your identity as a nation. It's beyond your identity as a Jew. It's beyond your identity with your family. God wants to redeem the whole world. God wants to redeem the whole world. The whole world. That is what this means, right? You do understand it like I understand when it says, "For God loved the world." Jesus didn't say, "For God loved people who love me back." He didn't say, "God loves Methodist only," even though we know we are the true faith. Amen. That's a joke, by the way. But, you know, sometimes I think we get so caught up in our differences that we forget that God did come to save the entire world, everyone. And we get so caught up in our differences and how we are different, whether it's denominational differences, whether it's gender, whether it's race, whether it's political beliefs, it doesn't matter what it is. We get so caught up in what divides us that sometimes we forget what it is that we have in common. And this is exactly what Jesus was trying to get to Nicodemus that he finally, I think, got. He was trying to say to Nicodemus, "You don't understand, it's going to go beyond that. Because I came, God is going after the world. God is going after the world. God is going after the world." And if you ever read in the book of Acts, you'll know that this didn't get settled just because Jesus died and was resurrected and the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples at Pentecost. There was still, who do we reach? Who do we reach? Who do we go to? Who are we and what is our identity? But just to make sure that we get this whole thing about the world, I love verse 17. You know, people like to do stuff like at sports events, people hold up John 3:16. It drives me crazy because there's a lot of people in our world who don't know who John is and what 3:16 means, right? But we always forget verse 17. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And you see, I think what Jesus was really trying to get at was your identity, once you are born of water and the Spirit, your identity becomes children of God. That's your identity. It goes beyond your family. It goes beyond your race, your gender, what political party you affiliate with, where you live, what you do for a living. You become part of the family of God. Hence, that's why when we do baptisms, we don't use a last name. That's why. because your identity becomes different. Now, several years ago, and the older I get, several years ago, sometimes I say several years ago, and it might have been a lot of years ago. But several years ago, you'll remember that in our culture, we were having this ongoing thing. People wanted to know whether you were born again or not. You remember that? People would say, you know, are you a Christian or are you a born again Christian? Well, let me say to you that my reading of John chapter 3, if you are a Christian, you are automatically a born again Christian. You cannot be a Christian without being born again. And you need to understand that old John, I could go on for this for an hour, y'all. I could. But old John likes to use words that have more than one meaning. And you see, we got stuck on that word born again, but that Greek word could easily be translated born from above, born from somewhere else. And once again, it gets to the heart of our identity. It gets to the heart of who we are. And we have to recognize that we are brothers and sisters in Christ and that God came to save the world. That's what Jesus said. That's what he was trying to get across to Nicodemus. And our identity comes less from who we were born as. You know, I'm sure that the clerk's office would have turned me out if I would have said to them, well, I don't have a birth certificate, but can I call my mother and let you talk to her? Can I call my dad? You know, I've been Robert Michael Potts my whole entire life. You know, what can I do that? No, what they wanted was to know my identity. And our identity is very important. So I think the message from John today is this. Our identity is less about who we were born to, what family we were born into, what we do for a living, what our race, gender, you could name a number of things here, okay? Our identity comes from the fact that we've been born of water and the Spirit, and our identity is that we are beloved children of God. Now, sometimes we get confused and we want to hang on to that beloved children of God, and we want to say, it's all of us who are in here. We're all beloved children, but outside the walls, it doesn't work like that. John 3:16, for God so loved the... All right, come on, that's not strong enough. For God so loved the... For God so loved the world. Which means God's not through yet. God's not through yet. And that means that we need not only to share our identity, we need to share the fact that God loves the world and God intends to redeem the world. And that's why it's so important for us to understand our identity and to go out and share that identity with those that we are in contact with in the world who may not yet understand or know how much God loves the world, how much God loves them. So do we have an identity crisis? I think not. We are born of water and the Spirit. We are born into a community of faith. But we're also born into the community of all. And our identity comes from the fact that we are born of water and the Spirit. And that's really who we are. And today, one of the things I would leave you with is never forget who you are. And as one of my colleagues has said to me over and over again, or whose you are. Never forget who you are, but also whose you are. Because our identity comes from being born of water and the Spirit. And we need to share that message. Amen? Amen. Amen.